All right, Ephesians chapter number 6 tonight. Book of Ephesians chapter number 6. We're continuing in our series on overcoming temptation. I hope this series has been a help to you thus far, and hope that when we get done with you, you say, boy, that was just what we needed. And I know that the Lord impressed upon my heart that it's something we needed. And I think it's all what we all can use in our Christian walk, Christian life. We return again this week to our study of the Christian's armor in this battle of overcoming temptation. And we have said that the child of God is in a spiritual warfare against the devil and his demons. You know, to fail to recognize a spiritual warfare, you're going to become a casualty. We're in a spiritual warfare. But God has not left us to ourselves. Amen. He is there for us. In fact, He is within us. We have His very presence in our lives, and we have been provided with armor to help us withstand the devil. And our responsibility is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Look at verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then we're to put on the whole armor of God. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, and we've already taken a look at having your loins girt about with truth. That was the first piece of armor that we talked about, was the belt of truth, and we talked about how this belt of truth is our meditating upon and obeying the Word of God. That's what the belt of truth is all about. It kind of helps keep all the other armor in place. And thank God for the God's Word, amen, that keeps us on the right path. Last time we talked about the second piece of armor, the breastplate of righteousness that's mentioned there. Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, verse 14, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And we said that the breastplate protected the torso of the soldier, and it was worn to protect the vital organs, the heart, the lungs, the intestines, all that stuff. We're behind that. And we mentioned that figuratively speaking, the breastplate protects our intellect, our emotions, and our will, because in the Hebrew vernacular, when they would think about having bowels of compassion, or they would talk about the heart, well, they're not really talking about the beating heart within, but it's just where you feel the seat of emotions at in your life. And so if we're going to be protected in our intellect, our emotions, and our wills, we must have the breastplate. We're told to put on the breastplate of righteousness, but we in ourselves are not righteous. We're sinners, right? We're sinners. We first need to become righteous by trusting the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and then we practice Galatians 2:20. When we practice Galatians 2:20, we realize that we're crucified with Christ, and I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. We actually allow Christ to live His righteousness through our lives. And that helps us to stand. Now tonight we take a look at the third piece of armor mentioned there in verse number 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, we look at this third piece of armor, we recognize it's the shoes. And Roman soldiers wore sandals that were hobnailed, or we would call them cleated. Imagine a soldier trying to match up with an opponent on a slippery heel in just shoes that were slick bottom. And he wouldn't do that. He'd wear those cleats that would dig into the ground and cause him to be able to have a firm foundation underneath him. Now, those of you who enjoy hunting or playing sports, you know how important it is to have good cleated footwear. Amen. You want a good solid foundation. We as Christians need to have good footwear on as well. Now, our footwear is the preparation That word preparation means readiness of the gospel of peace. Now, we know that the Bible tells us that we are the children of God. If we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, He's ours, we're His children. And as the children of God, we need to be ready or prepared to share the gospel at any moment. But although that's true, that's not what this is talking about. When you think of the preparation of the gospel of peace, this is not talking about that. The context here is standing against the wiles of the devil. Standing against the wiles of the devil. We are to be standing, resisting the advance of the devil, trying to tempt us, overcome us with the matter of temptation in our lives. We stand firm, resisting the devil, when we are wearing a prepared foundation, a base which will not allow us to be moved by uncertainty or by anxiety or by worry. And we are able to stand firm when we're standing in the peace of the gospel. That's why it calls it the gospel of peace. Man, there's nothing that gives you peace like the gospel gives you peace in your life. Amen? I'm glad that I have the peace of the gospel in my life tonight. You ever notice how hard it is to do something when you're distracted? It's hard to listen to someone when the radio, the television, or something else is distracting us. You know, my wife gets on me sometimes. She'll be talking to me, and I got one eye on the ball game. Yeah, honey, I'm listening. Look at me and listen then. You know, she don't want me distracted. It's hard to do your job well when you're distracted by problems at home, isn't it? You know, if you got things going on at the house and you don't have that peace there, what happens? It affects what you're doing. Now, you remember the Christmas story of Ebenezer Scrooge. In his younger days, Scrooge fell in love with a lovely girl. And finally, the girl broke it off, the engagement with Scrooge, because he was distracted by what? The love of money, wasn't he? He was. But listen, it's also hard to stand in our fight against Satan if we're distracted by worry, anxiety, fear, doubt, or any other thing. So the Lord says to us, here they are, put on these shoes. They are the firm foundation of the gospel of peace. And I want us to look at three things regarding this tonight. We're going to look at the position of peace, the power for peace, and the practice of peace. First of all, the position of peace. And in the last message, we said that we're not naturally righteous. When we are born in this world, we're born unrighteous. We're unrighteous because we are sinners. But more than that, before we came to Christ, we were in reality an enemy of God and Christ. Now, understand that God loves us, but our sin separated us from God and made us God's enemies. You don't believe it? Read chapter 5 of the book of Romans. Romans 5 talks about when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. And we were enemies. We could not have peace in our lives because we were God's enemies. Now, a person who is under the bondage of sin and service to the devil cannot have peace. Listen to me. The Bible is very clear. Now, Isaiah 57:20 says, "But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." When we were in that lost condition, there was no chance of peace in our lives, was there? Not at all. We were God's enemies. But God sent His Son to the cross to die for our sins. He died in our place, the righteous for the unrighteous. He died so that we could have peace. And Romans 5, verse number 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith," when we place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, "therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So, Jesus is the one that purchased our peace. He purchased it on the cross of Calvary, and we can have that peace when we place our faith and trust in Him for our salvation. And the moment we trust Christ as our Savior, that battle was over because we changed sides. Amen? We went from being an enemy of God to having God as part of our family. I mean, God was our Father. And we're brothers with Jesus. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? To be heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ? Well, that was accomplished by Jesus Christ Himself on the cross of Calvary. And it became a reality when we placed our trust in Him. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Now, in order to have any peace at all, we had to take the position of peace with God. You can't have peace unless you and God are on the same team. That's the first thing. You know, are you on His team? Are you on the same side tonight? And if you have trusted Christ as Savior, please remember that you have been given a position of peace. You are no longer at enmity with God. You are in God's family. And there's a certain peace that comes just from that right there. Amen. God's not out to get you. God loves you because you're His child. God's no longer your enemy. He's your friend. Now listen, if you have not taken the position of peace, you need to do that. Simply turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn from your unbelief. Turn from your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Savior. That's the position of peace, is salvation. Secondly, the power for peace. Now, understand that God wants us to have two kinds of peace. God, yes, first, God wants us to have peace with Him. That comes through trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you trusted the Lord, that happened the moment you came to Christ as Savior. But God also wants us to have His peace rule inside of us. Hold your place there in Ephesians 6. We're going to be back in that area. We're going to be in Ephesians 5 here in just a minute. But look at Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3, and I want you to see this truth here, expressed by the Apostle Paul to the Christians here at this church at Colossae. Notice Colossians chapter number 3. And verse number 15, Paul says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." Okay, I've got circled in my Bible the word "let" and the word "rule." Let means you've got to make it happen. Okay. There's the ability for you to have the peace of God rule in your heart, but you got to let it happen. And he says, "Let the peace of God rule." I think we know what rule means, don't we? Whatever rules has control, doesn't it? It does. The problem is that it's possible to actually be at peace and not feel peaceful in it sometimes. That's where Satan likes to get us. He likes to trouble us. If Satan can stop us from experiencing God's peace, he will do that. God in His goodness wants us to experience the peace of God. Look at Philippians for just a moment. Philippians, one page back in my Bible. You might just flip one page back in yours and not be the same thing. Philippians 4. Verse number 6 says, "Be careful." That word "careful" means full of care. Okay, don't be full of care for anything. Don't be anxious. Be another word to use. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And notice this, and the peace of God. Okay? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's how you let the peace of God rule in your heart. God has provided a very special person to live inside of us to help us have that power to have peace in our lives. He's given us His Holy Spirit. I want you to turn to John's Gospel, chapter number 14. Just a minute. John's Gospel, chapter number 14. I want you to see a few verses here. John 14. This is before the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. He was speaking to His disciples. And in John 14, the very chapter begins, "Let not your heart be troubled," right? I mean, he was all about wanting to bring peace to His disciples. This was a very troubling time. I mean, Jesus is talking about, He's about to leave them. He's about to be crucified on a cross. He's about to be treated very roughly. And He's telling them, "Let not your heart be troubled." There, verse 1. Well, look at John chapter 14 and look at verse number 15. He tells them here, He says, "If you love Me, keep My commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you," notice this, "another Comforter." Now, when you look at that in the original vernacular of what it behind those words there, it means another of the same kind. That word "another" is another of the same kind. Another Comforter. It means one just like Jesus. The Holy Spirit in our lives that Jesus left behind for His disciples and for you and me is one that's just like Jesus being in our presence. "I will pray the Father, He shall give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Now we know that that took place on the day of Pentecost. And it takes place in our lives when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and we're saved. The Holy Spirit comes in, takes up residence right then and there. And initially, those that were saved got on the day of Pentecost. But we get it when we get saved. Notice what he says. Skip on down to... we'll read verse 18 too. He says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Now he did. He came to them. And he came to them in the Holy Spirit also. Look at verse number 26 and 27 though. This is where I want to get. Verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So this peace that He gives is mentioned in the same context as the sending of the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Don't forget, when the list is given of the fruit of the Spirit, remember what the fruit of the Spirit is? And the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit that the Spirit gives forth. Okay? Love, joy, what's the third one? Peace. Okay? Peace comes from the Holy Ghost. And you can have peace in your life if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if your life is filled with the Holy Spirit, you will have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those things will be manifested in your life because if you're filled with the Spirit, you can't help but manifest those because that is what the Spirit produces. He produces those things. So the power for peace is the Holy Spirit of God who lives in the life of every child of God. Now, we see next the practice of peace. The practice of peace. So how can the Christian put on these shoes, the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace? Well, I think it can be summed up in three words. Three words are filling, focus, and fellowship. We'll take them one at a time. First of all, we need to maintain our filling. I'm talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit came in, took up residence in your life. He is in your life. He will not leave you. Do you understand that? He was given as a down payment of your redemption. I'm talking about your future redemption with the redemption of the body. The, The Lord left us with the Holy Spirit saying, I am going to come again, and I'm going to get what's my own, what is mine. And what is mine is identified by who has the Holy Spirit living within. And He is going to come back one day, and He's going to take us home to be with Him. Praise God for that. Amen. Looking forward to that time. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Takes us out of this world of sin and sorrow and all the other messes that are going on around us. You know, it'd be great, wouldn't it? But listen, we need to maintain our filling. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in our life, but it's incumbent upon us to be filled with the Spirit. Okay? We can sin against the Holy Spirit. You realize you can sin against Him? You can resist the Holy Spirit? You can grieve the Holy Spirit? You can sin against Him. We need to maintain our filling. Look at Ephesians 5. I told you we're going back to Ephesians. So if you held your place there, look at Ephesians 5. This is where we want to be for right now. Ephesians 5. Look at verse number 18. He says here, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. Now, it compares it to being drunk with wine. Now, if somebody is drunk with wine, they have an abundance of wine in them. What does the wine do? The wine takes control of their body. It takes control of their tongue. It takes control of their movement. Right? Am I right? That's what wine does. Had an uncle one time. He, bless his heart, he finally got saved and got rid of all that out of his life. Before that time came in his life, he'd come to the family reunions that we would have, and he would be not drunk with wine, but whatever else he was drinking. It told in his life by his lips, by his speech, the way he walked. You could tell he was filled with alcohol. Now, a Christian is not to be filled with alcohol. It says, be not drunk with wine. We're not to be drunk with wine, but we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the reason why I use the comparison here is because the Holy Spirit is to have control of our lives like alcohol has control of the drunk. Yeah? You should have control of your speech. You should have control of how you move about. Amen? It has control of every aspect of your life. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, how can we be filled with the Spirit? That's the question. How can we be filled with the Spirit? I don't want to get too simplistic here, but if you're filled with something else, you can't be filled with the Spirit. Simple, isn't it? Okay? If you're filled with sin, you've got to get rid of that before you can be filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not going to fill a vessel that's filled with something else. You need to confess and forsake sin. Does that make sense? Confess and forsake sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I mean, it just makes sense that the first part of being filled with the Spirit is you got whatever sin that you know about in your life, you need to be getting rid of that. I think we need to ask to be filled. The Holy Spirit, please fill my life. You know, after we confess and forsake our sin, and then just yield to the Holy Spirit's control. I mean, He's there asking to fill your life. Asking now that you're empty of that sin that you confessed and forsook in your life, asking Him to fill your life and then yield to His control. Now, how does He give you marching orders? Through the Word of God. The Word of God's got to be alive. You know, how are you going to know how to walk? By the Word. You know, it said in John 14, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would teach you all things, right? He's going to teach you. You want to be taught? Do you want to know how to walk? If you want to be taught and you want to know how to walk, you've got to be in the book. I mean, it just makes sense. How can we be filled with the Spirit? Confess and forsake sin, ask to be filled, then yield your life to the Holy Spirit's control. Well, how can we tell if we are filled? Look at Ephesians 5 there. Look at verse number 19. Verse 18 says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Now, you'll have a new song. That's one way that you can tell if you're filled with the Spirit. Yeah. You'll have a new song. He's talking about spiritual songs. Amen. Hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Not only will you have a new song, but you'll have a new satisfaction. Notice verse 20. "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Yeah. You have a thankful life. You know, I've noticed when folks, when they're not thankful, is when they got needs. You know? But if you're thankful, yeah, always thanking God for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, hey, that's a satisfaction, isn't it? You'll have a new satisfaction. You'll have a new submission. Look at verse 21. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." You know, if you fear God and the Holy Spirit's filling your lives, you're going to want to submit to those in those areas. There are different areas that the Lord gives us that we must submit in. Amen. There's relationships we must submit in. Children are to submit to parents. Husbands are to submit. Wives are to submit to husbands. Husbands are to submit under the leadership of the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ and the family. That's what it's talking about. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You'll have a new submission. You won't have a problem with the authority that God has placed over you, will you? And you can tell you're filled, as I said a while ago, when the fruit of the Spirit is evident in your life. The fruit of the Spirit being the joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, the meekness, and the temperance. Those things will be there. Well, we need to maintain our filling. Second thing, we need to maintain our focus. Maintain our focus. Isaiah 26:3-4 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." Listen, as the Holy Spirit fills our lives, he guides us into all truth. And as he guides us into all truth, he speaks to us about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is magnified in our hearts, in our minds, and in our life. And as we keep our eyes focused upon Jesus, we can't help but be at peace because he is the Prince of Peace. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter number 12. So I thought we finished the book of Hebrews. We did. We're going back to it for this. Hebrews 12. Look at verse number 1 through 3. And we're talking about keeping focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12, verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Now remember, we said that those cloud of witnesses, look back into chapter number 11 and see those are the witnesses. They live their life by faith. They are witnesses to what a life by faith can do. A life of faith in God. A life of faith. They had it. They're witnesses of that. "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." So we look back. Then said, "Let us lay aside every weight." In order to do that, you've got to look in, don't you? "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us." We realize that the weights and sins become hindrances. Not everything in our life that we probably need to lay aside is necessarily a sin. Sometimes there's some weights there that we could probably be better off without. But we're to lay aside the weight. We're to lay aside the sin. "And let us run with patience." That's a look forward. So we can look back, look in, look forward. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Now, that's looking unto. Looking unto Jesus is basically focusing on. That's what the meaning of looking unto Jesus means. It means to focus on Jesus. I've used this example before, and probably use it again. Satan wants to get your focus off of Jesus. You ever seen... I love the Olympics. I like watching the Olympics. And I love how people are focused on what they're doing. But sometimes those cameras are just... they would just get right in their face. You know, they'll be all over the place. Or something else will rob them of their focus. And you can see them lose it. You can basically see them lose their focus. And when they lose their focus, they're done. You know, they wind up losing the race. Satan wants you to get your eyes off of Jesus. He don't want you focusing on Jesus, so he's going to do whatever he can to get your focus off of Jesus. Notice verse 2 again. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. When you're wearied and faint, you've lost that peace, haven't you? That's right. You don't have that peace anymore. Focus on Jesus. And there's a purpose to pursue there. There's a person that we need to focus upon. So we need to maintain our feeling, maintain our focus, and then for the last, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. We need to maintain our fellowship. Maintain our fellowship. 1 John 1. Look at verse number 4. 1 John 1, 4. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Notice verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. What's the focus on there? It's on maintaining that fellowship. Don't let sin get a foot in the door. Okay? Sin gets a foot in the door, confess and forsake. Get it out as quickly as possible. Maintain short accounts. Amen. You got to maintain short accounts if you're going to maintain your fellowship. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having your breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we've seen the position of peace is salvation. Let me ask, do you have peace with God tonight? Are you sure that you're saved? See, that position of peace, you'll never get peace, you'll never have peace till you first have salvation. That's the position of peace, is salvation. The power for peace comes from the indwelling Holy Spirit. The indwelling Holy Spirit. And you get that. When you have the position of peace, you have the power for peace living within. But then comes the part. You've got the practice of peace. Maintain your feeling. Maintain your focus. Maintain your fellowship. Amen. Those are the keys to stand your ground as you're being attacked by Satan, and he will come at you, and he knows if he can rob you of your peace, he's got you. You know, he can't get you your salvation. But you know, if he gets your focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ, he gets you all in a mess, gets you away, you don't have peace in your heart and life, you're not going to be any good to the Lord Jesus Christ without peace in your heart and life, are you? Just not. I can tell you the times when I haven't had peace in my life for some reason, and I knew the reason. When I didn't have the peace of God in my life, those were the times when I just wasn't any good for the Lord. So tonight, let's get back to the practice of peace in our lives. Maintaining that feeling, focus, and fellowship in our walk. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessing of the armor that you have given to us. Lord, to help us and as we stand against the wiles of the devil. Lord, we know that his schemes are many, and he's very wily. He just he comes at us any way he can. Lord, we know that you have given us your Holy Spirit living within. You've given us the ability to put on this armor of God that you have given to us. And we're to take it all and to put it all on and to use it so that we can, having done all, to stand. Lord, that's the goal, to be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Lord, help us with these things. And if there's somebody here tonight, maybe they're missing some of that peace. Lord, if they're missing the peace because they've never had the peace with God, they don't have the position of peace. Help them to come to salvation tonight, so they can have the position of peace and they can have the power for peace. But Lord, for those of us that are saved, Lord, help us to examine ourselves and make sure, Lord, that we are maintaining what we need to maintain in order to have that peace in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.